The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas. From Vanderpump Rules to motherhood and everywhere in between, it's time to catch up with Sheena Shea. This is Shenanigans. And now, here's your host, Sheena Shea.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shenanigans and another episode of Sheena Spills. You all sent in a bunch of questions, and I'm going to get through as many as I can. These episodes, I feel like, are obviously long-winded because I'm just talking the entire time. So we'll see how many we can get through, but I hope everyone who celebrates had an amazing Easter weekend. It was so fun for summer at this age, almost three, just so excited to wake up and see what the Easter Bunny left her. Last year, I felt like she was still maybe a little too young, and we did an Easter egg hunt at my aunt's house with her and my little cousin. But this year, the night before, I told her, you know, just like with Santa Claus, it's like the Easter Bunny's coming, he's going to hide eggs. And in the morning, I told her I heard him hopping around and leaving some eggs. So she went and found him around our house. And then we went and spent some time with the fam, did another Easter egg hunt there where the Easter Bunny actually visited her. And it was so much fun. And then to end our Easter night, we had Jeremy Maddox and his fiance, Rachel, come by because they got engaged yesterday. So ended the night with a little champagne toast celebration for them. And overall, it was just a very good weekend. So new house is coming along. It's starting to feel more like a home. We do still have boxes, and we also have a missing box. I don't know how. I swear the last day, not when we had roadway movers there, but the last day it was just myself, Brock, and my mom at the house. And we finished laundry that I had left there to do. And we put it in a big roadway moving box and finished the laundry, folded it all. I swear that box went into my car. Brock emptied the car. The box is still missing. It doesn't make sense. So other than that, the new house is coming along just great. If you're following Brock along on social media, you will see Brock the Builder. And can he fix it? Yes, he can. He is doing so many projects all around the house. We got TVs hung on the wall last night. I gotta say, took him a little longer than 7 minutes because he did it all by hand. But it was very impressive to actually watch someone hang a TV fully from scratch and not use a drill, because going back to season 6, that TV, it was hung very differently. And I definitely exaggerated that story. So we had Summer Moon, his little helper, with her stud finder, and it was so adorable. She literally was showing me how to find the stud. She's like, no, mommy, you go like this. You go really slow. And it was so cute. So house is becoming a home. Great weekend. And yeah, let's get into some shenanigans. Oh, actually, before I do, I just want to mention, I assume most of you who listen to the podcast got my reference and my comment. But for those of you who didn't, hopefully this now becomes a story, because Stassi, I'm so excited, is now here at Dear Media. She's doing a whole rebrand. It is no longer Straight Up with Stassi. It's just Stassi. And last week when I was here recording, I ran into her and I was like, oh my God, welcome to the fam. You know, we're going to have to get into some shenanigans soon. She's like, yeah, I would love to. It's something I've wanted to do with her for so long. But that was what I said to her when I saw her here was welcome to the fam, because Dear Media, here we are. We're a family. Apparently people thought I was shading her, saying like, welcome to the podcast family, when she's had a podcast longer than me. So no shade, all literal love, because Dear Media is the best company this podcast has ever had a home with. And I'm excited that she's part of the fam. So anyway, just wanted to clear that up. I don't know why I feel like I need to clear up everything I say at times. It's like, I just can't win, but that's okay. Thank all of you for continuing to come back and watch these videos, listen to the podcast, because you make doing my job so much fun. And let's get into it. So we've got VPR questions, Valley questions, personal questions. We've got a lot, but we'll start with a little VPR stuff, because I'm sure that's what you guys want to hear. Is there anything you wish hadn't been filmed on VPR? All of season 6. Yeah, just like all of that. I wish we could just, when people are watching it, go from 5 to 7, skip that relationship post-divorce and just pretend like I went from divorce to single. That's what I wish hadn't been filmed. How many more seasons do you think VPR will run for? Do you think the Valley will go on for season 2? Well, from what I've heard, based on their amazing ratings, I definitely think they will have a season 2, and I'm sure many more beyond that. I think this is a franchise that, you know, it's very family oriented, and I think it's one of those shows that you're going to watch these kids grow up on. So I don't know how many more seasons there will be of Vanderpump Rules, because it is a little bit of a different concept, you know, when you have Lisa, who doesn't really rule our life anymore. We're not working for her. I think it's a little different, but I feel like there's going to be just so much more content to come across the whole VPR cinematic universe in the future. Hopefully more crossovers with the Valley. This whole crew are literally my friends. We're going to start sprinkling them in on the podcast in the coming weeks. We'll get Brittany, Kristen, Jasmine, Michelle, Nia. We'll have Janet back, of course. But I want to get all of the ladies on, maybe do some of the husbands. Brock and I co-host, you know, comment below if you're watching on YouTube. Let me know who you want to see next from the Valley and how you want that to go. Do you want us to do like a girls episode, a couple couples episodes? We're going to do it all. But I am just really excited for all of my friends on this show, and I'm glad that the audience seems to be receptive to it. And I know on streaming, they had like 2.8 their first week, which was the most in a new show, whatever, on streaming. I don't know, but it sounds like they're doing great. So I'm very excited about it. I hope that you're going to be on the Valley. When are you going to have your own show? So I did film a little more of the Valley, but I think it would have aired last week, because part of the scene that I was in, there was part of it with Nia and Daniel. It was just Brock and I didn't come over. So I do know sometimes things are maybe out of order. I don't know that that's still coming, but Brock also filmed some more of the Valley. And hopefully, you know, if there's a season 12 and a season 2, more crossovers to come. And those are the next questions. Will you be on more episodes of the Valley? Will you switch over? And how do you feel about it? I don't know about a complete switch. I mean, I'm very happy with where I am on Vanderpump Rules, and I would like to keep that going for as long as possible, but I love the crossovers, so bring them on. The more the merrier. Can you please think about rewatching VPR from the start and recapping? Ooh, yeah. I don't know about that. And definitely not on Shenanigans. I don't know that I want to relive all of that. Just even sometimes when they'll have an old episode from a different season before the current season's airing, and I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. So I don't know that that's for me. I know Kristen does recaps, and she said it also is hard. It takes a toll on, you know, your emotional and mental health. So I don't know that that's for me, but next question, what was worse for you, the bullying in school or on VPR? I definitely think school, because I was like 11 and 12 years old when that was at the peak of how bad it actually was. VPR, I had a solid support system of friends outside of the show. I also was able to open up to my family about the way I was treated at Sir when I first started there. But I was also never afraid for my actual physical safety on VPR. I mean, there were definitely a couple crazy fights where I was very close in the crossfire. But when I was bullied in school, it was a legitimate fear of, am I going to be okay if I walk home from school today, or am I going to get jumped? So that type of bullying was on such a different level. I feel like reality show bullying is just a little petty. It's catty, as you saw my embarrassing Hotel Ziggy interaction with Joe. Like, that was so out of character for me. I just think it was one of the first times I had seen her in a really long time. And I felt like she was very complicit and she knew about this whole affair. And so I was a little bit of a bitch to her, but watching that back, I was just like, oh my God, Sheena, no, that's not me. I'm never that girl. And I didn't like seeing that. And along with the Joe comments, I mean, the girl rocks up and it was either a Tom Tom or a Schwartz and Sandy's hat. And it's like, Katie's going to be there. You know, she has an issue with you. And she legitimately had cute braids and she is a hairdresser. So I do stand by what I said with that. I'm like, girl, show off your work. But also, like, why are you wearing the Tom Tom hat? You know, maybe not to this night, but to each their own. Moving on. When do y'all start and finish interviews for VPR? So we do those a little bit throughout the season, but then we do them up until almost we film the reunion. It just kind of depends on how the story is getting edited, what interview bites they need about which specific scene, because every single minute of every single scene we film obviously isn't going to make it in. So they have to kind of figure out what the network wants and then ask us appropriate questions based on what is going to air in future episodes. So we're going to take a quick little break now and then get into so many more shenanigans. We'll be right back. Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Made in Form, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. You've seen me wear them on Instagram. You've seen me unbox them in this studio. M is a collection from Made in Form. So it's a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They basically wrote the book on bras, and M is the next juicy chapter. You have to feel it to believe it. And I'm telling you, when my sister felt my bodysuit the other day, she goes, oh my God, literally, it is buttery. It is the perfect way to describe these soft fabrics. They feel way more expensive than they are. Great style that's not going to break the bank. M is cheeky, playful, confident, and it's something that you can wear under, but also wear over. So I do some of the bras as a crop top, as we know I love, and also the bodysuits perfectly matched with jeans. Beauty is in her eye, and we want to feel confident and sexy for her. M has on-trend designs made from stretchy, comfy fabrics in incredible colors. You can wear it around the house. You can wear it on a night out. You just have to feel it to believe it. Visit madeinform.com and use code Sheena20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's madeinform.com and use code Sheena20 for 20% off your first order. All right, so if y'all have been following my husband on Instagram recently, you definitely see he's the craftier of the two of us. But when it comes to crafts with my kids, I have KiwiCo. I don't need to be laying down turf in the backyard. I have KiwiCo that delivers seriously fun learning for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. So Summer, as much as she loves helping her dad outside, she can also have some fun with mom inside. They have so many engaging hands-on activities designed to introduce kids to exciting science, technology, and art concepts. There's always something new for kids to discover. They even have ones that are like engineering robots, which I just think is so cool. They have 9 monthly programs to choose from, and KiwiCo has something I really want to emphasize for kids of all ages, ranging all the way from infants to preschoolers to teens and beyond. So as a kid, I was not the artsiest one. I didn't like to put all of the creative work into making a creative art piece, but with KiwiCo, they have made it so fun. Each crate is designed by real experts. It's tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun. And the best part, watching their creative confidence grow as they tackle different challenges. Redefine learning with play, explore projects, and build confidence in problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code HONEY. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code HONEY. And we're back. I've got my coffee, or we can just pretend it's tea. Sip, not spill. How are you, Brock, Summer, Penny Lane, and Salem enjoying the new house? We are loving the new house. I said to the cats, I know people who have animals, they talk to their animals, so it's not weird. But I said to the cats when we were putting them in their carriers as we were leaving Marina, I said, I promise you guys, this is the last move. You will die in this house. And to think about where Penny Lane and I started from a studio apartment on Whitley in Hollywood to this beautiful 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom house is just so incredible. So they are absolutely loving it. Once we get a little more stuff done in the backyard, Brock wants to build like a fence gate thing. It's like a catwalk, so to speak, where they can go outside, but safely. I've ordered them Apple AirTags. So in case, God forbid, they were to get out, I can track them. But they are loving all of their new space. They've already gotten their little hiding spots and spots they lay. And we're all very happy. Summer, it was so adorable. The other night, we were walking up the stairs and I said, Summer, do you like your new house? And she said, yeah, Mom. Thanks for buying it for me. It's just so big. And I said, well, you're welcome, sweetie, and I'm glad you like it. So just getting the rest of her stuff settled. We have really fun plans for what we want to do for her bedroom. There's this company we found on Instagram that basically builds out bunk beds, but because her ceilings are so high, it's going to be almost like a little play deck for her that has a slide that comes down. And it's just going to be her own little fun house. And I'm so excited to get that done. We are first building the security gate out the front. That is the project that's starting this week. That is most important. We've gotten the backyard done, which was not the priority, but Brock just got on it so quickly. So now the security gate is going up and then we're going to start getting some more stuff done on the interior. But the house was pretty new. It was only built 7 years ago. So it's not that it needs that much. There are just things that we want to change. We want to add a little breakfast bench nook. And I'm just really excited. So, yeah. Speaking of Brock, are you and Brock okay? Rumor has it you guys are splitting. I want to know where this rumor is because I think it started when they said that we had to sign the deed or however that worked out with the thing Brock had to sign so I could put the house solely in my name. I think that's where these rumors started. We're definitely in a much better place now than we were last year. We, you know, we're going through a lot of issues last year. A lot of them you've seen play out so far this season. You're still going to see more coming up in the next few episodes, but it was a difficult time in our relationship. And I think that after everything we went through and have been in therapy about individually, I think we're in the best place we've ever been in. So sometimes you have to go through some hard moments to come out on the other side and remember how much, you know, we love each other, we respect each other, and we want this to work. We want our family to work. And if that means I gotta bring in a nanny a couple more days. If that means he needs to bite his tongue around my mom, you know, whatever it is, we're figuring it out. Summer starts preschool with Ocean this summer. I'm so excited for them. The fact that we got them into the same school in the same class starting the same day is the actual dream that we didn't know if it was going to be possible. I did not realize how competitive preschools are. So just a little note to parents who don't know this, because I didn't know this, I would say probably for all of my first time parents out there, start thinking about it really young, because when Lala and I went to the tour, I think one woman there was pregnant. There was another one there was like 12 months. Oh, my kid's 14 months. They look at me and Lala. She didn't have Ocean. I had Summer. And I'm like, 35 months? Like, how are people starting preschool thinking when they're pregnant, when their kid's a year? I just thought, you know, maybe you do some mommy me classes, you do a dance class, and you go to kindergarten. I don't know. That's what I did in the 80s, I guess, 90s. But yeah, you got to start thinking about preschool really early in LA County, at least. And the fact that we got them in, I am so excited. So yeah, all is good on the home front. Wherever these rumors came from, they got to stop. You know what actually is? I think these rumors started on The Sun. That was who reached out to my team to ask for a comment because of the signing the house over, letting me put it in my name, whatever. But also what I saw on The Sun recently, and there's a question about this. How do you feel about John Mayer denying that you all ever hooked up? I mean, I'm sure John doesn't love being a storyline on VPR, but where did he deny this? Because I'm pretty sure it was The Sun who made that claim. And when I looked at the article, it looks like they just kind of made this up. It was like, oh, you know, a source close to, or however they worded it. There weren't quotes from John. There weren't quotes from his team. There was nothing else in there. And in the past, I even saw a tweet of mine resurface where I think I found an old magazine. It was like John's new gal. And when that popped up, I was like, oh, I forgot about that. And nothing was ever denied then. So just interesting that The Sun is putting more rumors out and trying to dispel other things. But I just wouldn't believe anything they have to say. So there's that. Are you friends with Jeremy Maddox? What's the beef with him and Ariana? Is it just rumors? Why are you all of a sudden posting with Jeremy after he said he's not in a good place with his sister? I've never seen you posting with him before. Well, that's not true. I've always been close with Jeremy. They are both family to me. He is like a little brother and has been for over a decade. He spent Christmas with me. He spent many Christmases with me. We've done holidays together. I also posted with him on Christmas. I see him when I go down to San Diego. And he got engaged yesterday and they were in LA. They live down in Oceanside and they got engaged in Malibu and were staying in West Hollywood for the night. So on their way back to WeHo, they stopped by. I popped a nice bottle of champagne I had for them. And yeah, obviously I posted because that's a huge moment in his life. And I was so excited for him. I absolutely love his fiance. I love saying that word. Rachel, she is an absolute doll and such a sweetheart. So that's why I posted, because it was a very big day in their lives and I was so excited to be able to celebrate with them. Will you and Ariana be able to mend your friendship? Are you and Ariana still close? If this question came from the same person, that's confusing, because I don't think there's anything to mend. Everything is fine. Obviously, when we filmed the reunion, you know, we have to rehash some things and talk about things that can be uncomfortable at times. It's not my favorite day out of the year, but at times it can also be a bit therapeutic and cathartic if you want to try and look at it positively. You know, I was able to get some things off my chest, and at the end of the reunion, Ariana and I hugged, said I love you. We've texted since then. I think she's back in like a week and a half maybe, but I know she's planning to be back for Coachella, so I definitely plan to see her and Dan for Coachella. I can't wait for them to see the new house. Dan was actually one of the first people I told about the house. We were just in a conversation that day and I was like, okay, I have to tell you. I just looked at this house. I sent him the listing and he was asking me about, you know, well, what way does the front door face and the sun and the this and that? And so I can't wait for them to see it in person. Yeah, I know Summer will be excited to see her Auntie Unicorn outside of the TV and in person again soon because it's been a while. But yeah, I don't think there's anything to mend. I think friendships go through ups and downs, and last year was a wild year in all of our lives, and we're all doing the best we can. What are your thoughts on Katie wanting you to tell her about a kiss from more than a decade ago, but not her with your ex too? Okay, Max was not really an ex, and I fully supported that situation that night. I may have even pushed it a little because, you know, that's what I do. I'm a pusher at times. But I was like, look, Katie, clearly y'all have some attraction. There's something she's like, I know, but, and then he's like, I know, but, and I was like, if you guys like each other, you like each other. Everyone's adults. Do your thing. Like, don't worry about me. I support it. So I think that is a very different thing. And I saw Kiki had talked about this a little bit on, I don't know if it was her podcast or if she was doing an interview. I think it was with Gibson. And she was like, I mean, Sheena and Katie, I know we talked about this a little bit on the podcast last week, but we did not like each other during then. And I do not think anything good would have ever come out of me telling Katie about this at the time. So, you know, in hindsight, we can say, oh, well, if I knew, I would have done this or I wouldn't have done this. But I genuinely felt that I was doing the right thing by not saying anything because it was a drunken mistake that never happened again and I knew never would happen again, at least with me. So I stand by my decision in not telling her because I really didn't want to hurt her. How are you and Katie? I loved seeing the two of you in a better place this past year, but it appears things have gone off the rails there. Look, I thought Katie and I were in a good place, at least, you know, a much better place than season 10, obviously. She invited me to her Christmas party. There were less than 10 of us there. She had a very intimate birthday dinner. She also did another night at like a dive bar, and I was in San Diego for that. So I made sure that I was there on her actual birthday at her birthday dinner. I think it was only maybe 8 of us. And then what's interesting is I see all of the things that she was saying about me around the same time, whether it was interviews or the after show. I know the day the after show was filmed. So it's been upsetting for sure to see how she spoke about me on the after show while inviting me to her holiday party, her intimate birthday dinner. And I've been genuinely trying to work on rebuilding that friendship and thought we were in a good place. I even had cut someone out of my life who she was having a major issue with last year, just kind of to more prove to her, like, I'm trying to be loyal to you. I'm trying to respect you and your boundaries. And, you know, then she goes and makes these comments. So I don't know. Her laughing along when Nick Vile is saying shit about me, he makes jokes at my expense and she doesn't have my back. And then the after show has been the most telling to me because, like I said, I know the exact date that was filmed. So I don't know why she would invite me into her inner circle and then like make jokes at my expense behind my back on camera in the press because she wants to say, you know, she doesn't know if she can trust me. It's like, well, I don't know that I can trust you because someone who does that behind my back is not someone I can genuinely trust as a friend. And I know I'm not perfect, but I am actively working on myself. I want to be a better friend, a better mom, a better partner. And I think genuine friends cheer you on publicly and privately. So I do now question things. Yes, I'm going to sip. Do you think Katie has a problem with toxic men or just toxic men who treat her poorly? Because she's been cozying up to Nick Vile lately and it's not cute. Interesting. Speak of the devil. I feel like Nick Vile has it out for you or something. You are all he talks about. @RachLove321. Yeah, I mean, the boy needs content. So you know what? Let him talk. I hear he gets a lot of listens. So if he wants to talk about me, I'm glad I can provide content for him to monetize off of. Nick Vile and crew seem to diss you every chance they get. Why do you think they do it? I think they see me as an easy target. I think he follows trends. He largely built his audience off Scandoval, okay? Like, let's not forget about that. It was his own words. I think he said something like 60% of his new downloads had been from this past year. And he's had his show for like 6 years. I know, because I was on it years ago. So he's milking this as much as possible. And that's all I'll say about that. We're gonna, on that note, take one more break and I'll be right back. Lisa Vanderpump has a new home on Hulu. It's an escape to the French countryside. This is a fun new show called Vanderpump Villa, which provides an entertaining and unfiltered portrait of life, both saturated in and starkly without privilege. Throughout the series, new groups of guests will arrive for a unique and lavish vacation, and the staff will have to be ready to cater to every whim. And trust me, I know how that goes when you're working for Lisa Vanderpump. This series offers a behind-the-scenes look at how the staff are pushed to the limits to execute these one-of-a-kind celebrations like bachelorette parties, divorce parties, birthdays, etc., all while having to maintain composure and professionalism, as this is an opportunity of a lifetime for each of them. Viewers will get to escape to France and be transported to a magnificent French countryside villa, Chateau Rosabelle, which will serve as the opulent background for the new series. Audiences will get to indulge in an old world setting with modern day fun through our wealthy and VIP guests as they experience an extravagant Vanderpump style vacation that's tucked away from the real world. European luxury has never been closer and more accessible. My friend Marciano is on it, and I can't wait to see all of the drama unfold. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Okay, this is something that I did see a lot of questions still about. I know we addressed it a little bit on last week's episode, but why are people saying it's so creepy you have 56 people's locations? People have to consent to sharing locations and can revoke it at any time. So if anything, isn't it a credit to your character that so many people trust you with their locations? Thank you, whoever sent that in, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, when they asked me in my interview, like, you have 56 people? I'm like, apparently, I don't know. I hadn't really gone through and refreshed or checked recently, but yes, apparently that many people gave me their locations. No, I'm not holding a gun to anyone's head. I'm not forcing anyone to give me their location. And I will say, which is also funny, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, after that episode aired, I had three friends start sharing their location with me. Like, it's just like a funny thing. And now I have more people's locations because whatever, it's not a weird thing. And it's not that I was tracking him. I'm going to post a screenshot of the text because I meant to do this last week and I didn't, from Max, that showed exactly why I was triggered to look at his location. Because I said, are you good? He said yes. And then I just thumbs up it. And then I get the emoji and I'm like, huh? And that's when Brock and I were like, wait, do you think? And Brock's like, you have his location. Check. So I did. How many locations do you have now that the episode aired? Okay. So yeah, I mean, I'll admit 56 is a lot, but some of them were, I went through this recently, and anyone who maybe I can't see their location anymore, maybe they turned it off or whatever, I just deleted all of them because I'm like, I can't see yours, you can't see mine. But I mean, I had it going back to my Vegas show, like friends from when I lived there. I have friends from New York, from Atlanta, Florida. Like, I have friends literally all over the country. And I don't think it's weird, but I did do a little bit of a cleanup and now it's only a mutual thing. So if I don't have yours, then you don't have mine. Do you think it's a bit weird that you still had your ex Max's location? Why did you have Max's location? Again, I would not really call him an ex. He's also friends with Brock. Brock actually knew Max before he even met me. They had mutual friends in San Diego. And it's very platonic. Max and I have had each other's locations since the pandemic. I didn't have it when we dated. It was in the pandemic, we were spending a lot of time in San Diego and he shared his location with me. And it was like, not a weird thing. But I literally am not sitting there checking my friends and family's location, seeing who is where, at what time. That night with Katie and Max, I had a reason to check, a reason I will pop up the screenshot of the text, and that's why. But I do wish that Brock just left it up, or, you know, to Max or Katie to reveal that was not his place. And I know Max wanted to tell Schwartz, so I was upset with him that he not only blew up Katie's spot in public, but also it wasn't his place. So, you know, I wasn't going to bring it up. Brock did. And we're all filming a reality show. You know, it's like, I think this would have come out one way or another? Probably, because Max was going to tell Schwartz. I don't know that it would have necessarily been a storyline if Max isn't filming anymore, but it was not Brock's place. Cheating. In the Never Have I Ever game, you admitted to cheating. Who have you cheated on? Was this on Shay with Schwartz? No. This was my high school boyfriend, the only relationship I've ever cheated in my life. I know a lot of people like to take the Eddie situation and be like, well, you cheated. I was single. He was having an affair on his wife. I did not cheat on anyone. When I was 16, I didn't make the best decisions. And after I cheated on my high school boyfriend, and it was several times, I knew how disgusting that felt. And I made a vow to myself that I would never do that again in any relationship for the rest of my life. So when Schwartz kissed me, it immediately took me back to that, like, oh my God, no. Like, I don't do this. I am not a cheater. And that was another reason why I wanted to bury it and take it to the grave, because that's not me. So, you know, contrary to this home wrecking horse stigma that has been placed on me, I am not a cheater. You said on your podcast recently that you didn't know Eddie Cibrian was married, but in the crossover scene with Brandy, you acknowledged that you knew he was married. Brandy brought it up on her podcast recently that you should have empathy for Raquel given your past. Thoughts? Okay, I want to reiterate that I did not know he was married when we met. Eventually, after I stopped talking to him for a while, he told me he was separated from his wife. So I knew, yes, he was legally married, but I was under the belief that he was at that point living separately, free to date, and he was not cheating on anyone. There was a solid probably 9 months after I found out he was married that I did not see him at all. And when I ran back into him one night, he told me, I'm telling you the truth this time. I left her. We're separated. We're living separate, blah, 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 blah. And stupid me, I chose to believe him. But in regards to Brandy's comment about Raquel on her podcast recently, it's like, look, with all due respect, Brandy, I think you're making a false equivalence here, because for all we know, Tom could have been misleading Raquel about, you know, the state of his relationship with Ariana. But on the contrary, Ariana and Raquel were friends. You know, I felt like not just friends, but it's like Raquel was like Ariana's confidant. Raquel was also getting Ariana's side of things. She was seeing them interact as a couple. She had stayed with them in their house when Brock's family came over to visit from Australia and I needed the full apartment available. I mean, she also clearly didn't believe they were broken up if she wanted to enter into a throuple with them. So I don't know why she would have suggested that if they weren't still together. So it is a very different situation, and I don't think that's comparable. What is, though, actually a better equivalent is Brandy and Denise Richards, because Brandy claimed she had an affair with Denise and Denise was in an open relationship and that it was okay. But then Brandy claims that she learned that wasn't the case. So I would have thought, if anything, you know, Brandy would have taken a moment to have some sympathy for the situation that Eddie put me in, considering the situation she said she was put in. But it's Brandy. So, you know, there's that. Can you clear up if you were the girl Schwartz kissed in Vegas, or was that another time? I was not doing some weird omission by, like, no. That was not it. There was another girl, ironically named Kate. And if you go back and watch that episode, I'm pretty sure he even says her name. So there was someone else he made out with in Vegas. That was not my way of trying to tell Katie that I did it. It was legitimately a friend of mine who was my choreographer season one, who Schwartz also made out with. Didn't make out with me, just tried to kiss me, clearing that up again. Okay, to wrap things up, couple more questions, and thank you guys so much for listening. Where is the green one-piece swimsuit from? It's from that bikini shop that Brock and I got in that massive argument in. I forget what it's called. It's like two names. It's something really cute, but I did get it that day. If you weren't on TV, what else would you want to do? I feel like I've always wanted to be in TV, whether that was acting, hosting, producing, reality. I've definitely always wanted to be in front of the camera, but I did think back years and years ago, like if I never got into entertainment, I thought that I wanted to be a high school cheer coach, so, or a teacher. I always thought about being a teacher when I was in school. So I think if I completely was outside of entertainment, I may have gone more of a teaching, coaching route. But ultimately, I felt like I've always needed to be in front of the camera. I think I have a voice. I like to share that. I will continue to share that and be open, because that's why I love doing what I do, is being able to tell y'all that you're not alone. All of us, you know, are going through similar life experiences. Ours just happens to be in front of the world. And if we can do it in front of the world, you can do it privately. But I like to encourage people to open up to their family and friends. You know, if you are going through a hard time, therapy has been incredible. And I will continue to be open and public about my journey with all of that, because I think it's important. I really do. Will you write a book about your Hollywood days? I saw this one come in. And there's definitely enough material for one. A book is also a bucket list item, so stay tuned for that. It's always something I've wanted to do. I got my degree in broadcast journalism, but that, you know, was on camera, like news anchor hosting and also writing for the school newspaper. So definitely something I've always enjoyed doing. And I think I have a lot of exciting things in the pipeline. Also with the 27s, we're getting back in the studio this week. I'm so excited. And thank you guys so much for listening, for watching, for getting into Shenanigans with me. I hope you enjoy these solo spills episodes. And we'll be back next week, possibly from New York, because I'm going to be on Watch What Happens Live. So figuring out that, but it'll be a good one, whatever we do. Thanks for listening. Bye. Sheena Shea.
Shea FK. Thanks for listening to Shenanigans with Sheena Shea. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.